The Koigig Pod on Off The Ball.
And it's true, like, legend of the game, and I think it's one of those that a lot of people don't really realise how much he's achieved, not only in football, but in all overall sport.
Subscribe to The Koigig Pod on the Off The Ball app now.
Off The Ball's Breakfast Bite. A bite-sized serving of Ireland's breakfast sports show.
Right, to hurling at nearly 20 past 8 this morning. Sarah Donovan and Ryan O'Dwyer are with us. Well, Sarah, how are you doing?
Delighted to see Crystal Palace in the green this morning, lads. You know, just a fairy tale story.
Will we do 20 minutes on that?
Would love to. Could talk for 90 minutes on it if you wanted. Lads, that was a revenge mission in full flight yesterday. And the only fortunate thing about it for Cork was that it was in a game of no consequence. So if you're going to tank, as Cork did yesterday, tank in a game that means nothing.
Tank sounds a little bit like they almost did it on purpose, but...
Oh, no, they didn't.
No.
Oh, no, No, they didn't. They didn't tank on purpose, but they definitely tanked.
Yeah.
Yeah, I wouldn't say it means nothing because realistically, if they go out next week and get bet by Waterford, they're gone from the championship. So, yeah, I know it's kind of not that it means nothing, but there's a second chance. I suppose after the weekend, we're guaranteed three things: that Clare are out of the championship, that Limerick are through to a Munster final, and that Tip minimum have third place in the so they're through to the All Ireland qualifiers at minimum. That's the only guaranteed thing after this weekend. But it's all it's knockout hurling for Cork and Waterford now next weekend. But that's a typical Cork person there, Sarah. Now just getting the Ash look was again an insignificant game.
But Ryan, I owe you an apology. Two weeks ago.
Rarely you get this from Sarah.
Yeah, I appreciate that. No, I owe you an apology. You went for Tip 2 weeks ago in the performance rankings, and here they are, finishing up third at minimum. So maybe you knew something I didn't. There you go. That's the last time I'll apologise, Tina.
What did happen, Cork? All joking aside, what the hell happened?
From the first minute, Tip or Limerick outworked them. I could give you the stats, lads. The stats speak for themselves, but being in the ground yesterday, same as Arthur, we were on the same side. The intensity from the first ball was insane from Limerick. And if you have any question about what Cork stole from Limerick last year in terms of an opportunity to be the best team in the history of the game, if John Moyler last Thursday is still thinking about 2018, that Limerick team is going to think about losing the chance for five in a row for the rest of their lives. And if they go on to win the All-Ireland, based on yesterday's performance, that still won't be enough. But yesterday, they were phenomenal.
Yep.
Was there anything Cork would have done, Ryan?
No, look, it was the start. I think Limerick yesterday played like champions. They played like Man United. I know a different sport, but Man United in the 90s and 2000s, that they kind of, for the opposition, they say kind of, you know your place. We're the champion. I know they're not current All-Ireland champions, but they were going for four in a row. They won five out of six. And they basically, they said to Cork, you know your place, you respect those. And the intensity that came out with, they were laying down a marker for the year, because all the talk has been, and from myself included, all the talk has been about Cork. And I think this was, no, look, I don't think Cork played anywhere where they can play, but they didn't get a chance. It was the Limerick went into that match with a plan. They went in with the intention of, I suppose, a fast start, and we put hurling out of Cork's head straight away. And I think they did that without a doubt.
I was listening to you earlier, Adrian, about the goal, and I was on that side when Gillan cut in, and he had so much work to do for that goal, and Kieran Joyce was coming back, but Kieran Joyce didn't come back quickly enough, and you know, it was evident that he had given Gillan too much space. So the defending from Cork's point of view was appalling for the first goal. And they were at sixes and sevens. And, you know, while I wouldn't agree that Cork should watch the match back because there's nothing to learn from it, what I would say is that defending for that first goal is amateur at best. And it's something that I thought that Cork had gotten out of their system.
Well, can you fix that?
It set the tone straight away because the game was only on a few minutes. And you could have just turned the man, popped it over, but he didn't. He said, no, I'm going for this. I'm going for a juggler.
time. In the meantime, Alan Quillen, good morning. How are you?
Morning, Gerard. How are you?
There's lots of bits and pieces before we maybe get to the action. The handling of the end of the Sevens programme from the IRFU hasn't been great. It's almost like they were reluctant to come out and just hold a press conference and tell everybody what they were doing. They issued a statement. Since then, all the players have had their say. The IRFU are going to meet the parents today? Is that what's happening?
I think, and representatives of the team and some of the players and stuff. I think it was 27 letters went in last week, and yeah, that's what I believe is going to happen. Obviously it was very, very disappointing and, a shock for anyone in that world of the Sevens who either love the Sevens or were involved. They're looking for the numbers and a full review if it was conducted and all that kind of stuff. So it'll be interesting to see what comes out of that and they're looking for a reversal of the decision and basically... looking to know what the actual numbers are and where the cost cutting could that have been replaced? Would they brought in other sponsors? Were the Olympic Council spoken to? No. But the sponsors spoken to? No. According to the letter that's been sent in, it's hard look, I think there's a lot of emotion involved in this, and but I do think that obviously they have a right to see the brass tacks reality of what the numbers are, because look, it's ultimately the statement would have suggested that it's not making money and it's a cost on the union, and what are those numbers, and they're looking to see them basically, and what efforts were made to try and keep it, or was it just a kind of a rash decision? You know, World Rugby changed the Sevens programme and a lot of unions were getting spooked by that, and possibly you'll see some more that might get rid of their Sevens programme. So it'll be interesting to see what comes out of that. And I think they deserve that anyway. And what will come out of it publicly, I'm sure we'll hear what has happened. But look, I think that David Humphreys, has to come out and speak and publicly go through this stuff, and maybe they didn't expect the reaction that's happened. A lot of the former players, and again, it's unfair for me to kind of, I don't have all the details, as most people don't have all the details. And I think that's what this meeting is about today, is getting those details and see what avenues were exhausted to try and keep it if that was the case.
Yeah, it doesn't feel like it's part of Humphrey's master plan to get Ireland to where we need to go, that Sevens is almost a bit of a distraction. And like, if that's his philosophy and that's what he wants to do, just needs to come out and say that. Like,
correct. You know? So I think, yeah, putting out a statement, I think I think they should have sent all the clarity with the statement, and here are the numbers and here are the facts, here are the figures, here's where we... we'll look to spend the money that we're saving.
Yeah.
Here's where it's going. You know, like with the contracts and the increase in playing for your national contracts now in the provinces, which we know the vast majority of them are in Leinster, that money is going to be generated towards pathways in the other three provinces and trying to improve them and get them more competitive and closer to Leinster. So you have an example of here where the money is going. So where will the saving and the Sevens money go to? What's it going to be? Look, they're the employers. They've every right to decide where the money is going or not going.
Is the money a bit of a distraction? Because it's not really a big pile of cash in the grand scheme of things. And like, obviously the suggestion...
Well, we don't know. There was one suggestion that like it's far more significant than what the letter states, that... You know, maybe it's only 500,000, half a million. Whereas when you see the figure that cost to run the Sevens in Olympic years, 4.2 million.
If it stacked up that they thought it was important enough pathway, which is what a lot of the sort of pro Sevens, obviously camp, are saying, it's provided all these.
Well, four of the players that were at the Olympics are involved with the provinces now. They've been contracted, and obviously Hugo Keenan, who came through Sevens, is now.
But
British
they'd
Irish
find the
line.
Money if they felt that was important enough. It's not such a big sum that they wouldn't be able to look
for.
That's
where we need the clarity, Adrian, and a strong statement or information and proper detail that this is these are the facts that back up the statement of why we're not, or the reasons for not continuing with the Sevens programme. And as I said, you know, there's a lot of emotion, it's a lot of disappointment, as so many people have invested a lot of time. And even for the players who retired, they're, you know, that was their life for a number of years. They weren't getting well paid for it, I think. You know, they weren't getting set up for after rugby out of it. I think they were doing it. There was obviously great enjoyment. You get to travel the world, but you get to play for your country as well. And you know, playing in Olympics, some of them have played in two Olympics. So, yeah, look, it's they need that clarity needs to come out now. And
do you think there's a role for Sevens if it was managed properly as a marketing tool for non-traditional rugby fans to be got into the sport?
Well, I do think, you know, the debate we often have about Ireland not getting to the quarterfinals and not going beyond, and we've kind of spoken about the possibility of maybe a fifth province like London Irish, yeah, or, you know, an exiles team, whatever the case may be, to try and have increase the player pool. And on the outside, kind of looking at it, you think maybe the Sevens is a good thing to keep. You know, I'd rather keep it without knowing all the facts. So forgive me for not knowing all the facts and the numbers. I think, yeah, got to be great, because you have four guys who've come through the Sevens programme there in the last, and we're at the Olympics, that are now contracted in the provinces, that if you get three or four every 2 years or
yeah,
that move around, look, with some of them who came through it anyway, probably because they were in academies, that they were young, and that here's an opportunity for a year or two, go and play Sevens, but ultimately that player's individual goal is to play 15s. But the skill set around the Sevens and the evasion and all that kind of stuff, the big difference is set piece and breakdown stuff. You know, that's the big difference. But I would like to think that it's another little cog in the wheel that would help possibly bring a couple of players through and keep that pathway open.
Yeah.
For somebody, you know, an out-and-out speedster who maybe not be the best defender or not great at the breakdown or not the most physical player, they can kind of, excel in Sevens.
To listen to this morning's Off The Ball Breakfast in full, become a member at offtheball.com/join now.